Welcome to Compliance Pointers, where we take an in-depth look into the latest news, trends, and challenges surrounding information security, privacy, and marketing compliance. Let's dive in with your host, Jordan Eisner.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Compliance Pointers. I am joined once again by Kevin Mayfield, managing consultant here at Compliance Point. What are you, 11 years, Kev?
11 years. They said it couldn't happen.
Yeah. And of course, you're a boomerang. So when you start, when you first started with our organization, now you're 25 years.
They didn't bridge the service.
You were pretty young when you first started, really young. And today on Compliance Pointers, we're going to be talking about revoke one, revoke all, but ultimately some of the consent law that was close last year, maybe we could put it that way, Kev, but or approaching, and then all of a sudden it was nixed or postponed. Give the listeners and the viewers an overview of where it sits, and then we'll start to get into the questions of what it means, how companies are going to abide by it, how they need to prepare for it, so on and so on. But let's just start with that. Revoke one, revoke all.
Yeah.
What
so
happened?
Back in
Where
April,
does it sit? Where is it today?
Yeah. Back in April, the FCC instituted some rules that went into effect around revocation of consent. And the rules apply to any robocalls or robo-texts. So that is a call or text using an automatic telephone dialing system. We could probably have another podcast on what the definition of an ATDS is, but if you're using an ATDS to call or text, then you had to institute texting in particular, institute 7 words that they said you have to recognize, things like stop, end, unsubscribe, cancel, opt out, revoke, I think might have been in there. And then they also said, though, that you can't restrict people to those words. People can opt out using any reasonable means, right? So if they use some sort of phrase or something like that in their response, we see people responding, cease and desist all communications. I don't want these messages anymore. Things that these automated systems don't.
And more colorful things.
Yeah. Middle finger emojis, some expletives. Mm-hmm. So that went into effect in April. The other part that got extended, they extended out for a year, is the kind of the what you mentioned, the revoke from one is a revoke from all. So the challenge there came from really these large financial institutions like banks. Think about a bank, right? So I opt into low balance alerts, and I opt into every time my debit card gets charged, I want a text message, and I opt into fraud alerts, right? Well, and then they send me a low balance alert, and I say stop, and unless they clarify what that's going to apply to, then they got to apply it all across the board, right?
Right. And so that was postponed.
That was, yep.
But it's on the calendar to go into effect again
in April of 26.
Okay. All right. And that is the reason for the podcast today. Maybe we'll just start with likelihood it's postponed again. Likelihood.
Okay. So
they're going to stick with the date.
Because
that's going to give maybe compelling reason to listen further.
Yes, right. So the FCC just voted on and passed unanimously to potentially amend some of its own rules. And it was a little bit bizarre when the thing first came out, because not only did they want public comment on the revoke one, revoke from one is a revoke from all, but they also talked about removing the requirement to maintain an internal DNC list, because they said that, you know, the telemarketing sales rule by the FTC that already covers that, so we don't need that. They've since pulled that back. Their unanimous vote was on something that did not include that, so they pulled that piece back. But they've got some abandonment things in there and things of that nature that they're saying, are these really needed, because they're duplicative of the FTC's rules that are already in effect. But anyway, lumped in that was this revoke one, is a revoke from all, and they want public comment on whether or not, you know, that's really needed, and whether that should be the rule or not. So right now,
when does that happen?
I don't know if it's been published in the Federal Register yet, but once it gets published in the Federal Register, they open it up for public comments, and then there's a 60-day period, something like that.
It just doesn't seem logical, because of the example you gave, right, with the financial institutions. And to throw something out there to even further complicate it, I was told by another person, and they were under the impression that multi-factor authentication text messages would be included. Yeah. So if you opt out of, for instance, maybe low balance text message and alerts, and you say stop, and they one revoke is revoke all, and they got to opt out of everything, then you're trying to authenticate some sort of system, and they can't text you your authentication code because of that. That just seems. What's your take on that?
I mean, I think generally speaking, when I'm speaking as a consumer, whenever I log into, I'm trying to log into my bank or whatever, and it'll say, click here to send a code, right? To send your text message to this number. I mean, I think you could make the argument that, A, it's an informational message. You're reestablishing express consent because you're asking for it to be sent. I don't know. I think it'd be a tough argument.
So maybe that's a misunderstanding on my side. I was under the impression that the revoke one, revoke all was solicitation and information. You're saying information is carved out of it?
No, it's not carved out, but you could reestablish express consent, right? You can opt out, and then you can opt back in, for lack of better terms, right?
Oh, you're saying that clicking the text me is basically an opt-in every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You could certainly make that argument.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I didn't think of that one. That's why I'm on the phone with an expert. So you can reassure me on things like that. So that makes sense, but yeah, still across the board, though, other alerts and things like that. And I understand you don't want to my internet provider, I, of course, want to hear the informational things, but I don't want necessarily the sales things. They seem to come. Now I have to worry as a consumer, if I opt out of that, am I going to get the informational stuff, right?
Yeah. 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 That's something that a lot of companies are struggling with, and that's why I think that probably the FCC is wanting some further comment on it.
And the comment will hopefully postpone it. Okay, let's talk hypothetically that it doesn't.
Hypothetically.
What are we going to tell people? What are we going to tell companies to do?
Yeah, so, I mean, if you think that you're sending robo-texts, right? And let's face it, I mean, I think that,
yeah, let's pause there, because you keep doing that. But my understanding is that's a pretty wide definition.
Yeah, I think that anybody that knows anything about this stuff, even if they think I'm not using an ATDS, and I would die on that hill in a courtroom that I'm not using an ATDS, if push comes to shove, they still want to follow the rules as if they are using an ATDS, so that they don't get themselves into a position where they might have to make that argument. Right. So if you're going to take the the stance that, hey, I'm going to follow the rules as if I'm using an ATDS. You send, you know, in our example with the bank, right? I'm opting in, they're opting into three different things. And I get the low balance alert text. I reply stop. They're going to have to send me a clarifying text message that says, hey, I'm paraphrasing, but hey, we got your stop request. Do you want that to apply to all messages that you're receiving, or do you only want to apply that to the low balance alerts? You know, reply one to stop low balance alerts, reply two to stop all, right? If they send me that message and I don't respond, they have to assume the worst case scenario. But that's really going to be, if it goes into effect, that's really going to be the only way that you're going to continue to be able to send those other messages and not opt them out of everything.
Yeah. Yep. You're going to have to triage it to a degree.
And then this system's not talking to that system, and it's, you know, I mean, it can get tricky.
Yeah. And then there, I would imagine there's going to be scenarios where, okay, I don't want the low account notifications anymore. My account's never going to get that low again, right? I don't need these. So I opt out of that, and I get the text back, you want to opt out of everything. What am I opted into? They could respond with that.
They could. That's another problem in it.
Sounds like another podcast. No, right? Because naturally, as a consumer,
yeah, 5 years ago, you opted into these things. You don't know what you're opted into.
If I'm a consumer and it's a organization that I want notifications from, which, you know, for the record, is very few. But if it is, but I'm opting out of one particular thing, and I get that request, I'm going to want to know, well, what are the other things? Because maybe while I'm at it, I'll go and do those too. Maybe not. Maybe it's just this, and maybe that's a majority of them. But I guess that's going to be a training, or they're going to have to perhaps anticipate some of that and have that preloaded as a response and say, here's all the subscription notifications you have right now. Let's know which one of these you want to opt out of. So there's layers.
In 165 characters or whatever, whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. There's layers. And that's just one thing we're thinking about. Okay. So that seems like the most practical and simplest thing for now, right? Should this go into effect? Mm-hmm. It's almost an opt-down type approach. Okay, I know you want to opt out of this, but just this or everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen studies on email where opt-downs are very effective, that given the opportunity, consumers typically will take that choice versus the unsubscribe from all type thing. So, you know, it could be something that companies want to look into.
Starts to become a text thing. Could they send a link? Could they say, we're going to opt you out of this. You want to opt out of just this or everything. And then it's a link to a subscription thing similar to email, right? When you opt out of an email, it takes you to a preference center.
Mm-hmm.
It's got all the different things. Have you heard any rumblings of that?
No, you could absolutely do that on the clarification text message. Mm-hmm. You know, you could do that. Now I wouldn't want to say advertise your buy one get one free on that link that you're sending me, but because then you're talking about marketing, but yeah, you could do that.
Huh.
Take them to your preference center if you have one.
What am I not asking about, thinking about, that would be relevant for our listeners and viewers on this?
I don't know. Just keep your ear to the ground on this latest, potential rollback of rules by the FCC, which is really odd because, you know, I mean, the FCC is taking some lumps this year on one-to-one consent. They tried to push that through. then the revocation of consent, that thing got extended, you know, on the revoke one is a revoke from all. So it's a little bit odd that now they're looking to pull back, but it's a new administration, right? So, I mean, that Brendan Carr, the chairman of the FCC, is, you know, talked about his delete initiative, trying to, you know, eliminate rules that make it more difficult on business. So, you know, that could all be part of this.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you joining for it, Kev. It's always good to have you. I need to mention the notoriety you have with the Brad Pitt Award. We'll save that for another podcast. I know I've mentioned it before. That's a teaser for our listeners and our watchers to either go back and listen to previous ones or stay tuned for the next one and figure out, why did Kevin Mayfield win the Brad Pitt Award? For anybody still on the line, just a reminder, we kind of dove right into this topic today, but Compliance Point has been advising organizations around topics like this for the better part of 2 decades. We provide assessment services and ongoing management support retainers around these very topics. People like Kevin, who live and breathe this every single day, can be at your disposal to work through these sort of solutions, make sure you're best prepared with a business-centric mindset to take on these challenging regulatory changes and evolutions, continue to comply, reduce risk, but reach your marketplace. So if you have topics like that, if you have questions like that, concerns, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can find us at compliancepoint.com. You can email us at connect@compliancepoint.com. And Kev, when's the last time you checked your LinkedIn? You're more just a TikTok guy, right? should I advise them to reach out to you on TikTok? Should they want to talk to you? No. kmayfield@compliancepoint.com. And then jeisner@compliancepoint.com for any inquiries. Till next time. Thanks, Kev.
See ya.
See ya.